Hello and welcome to a very groovy episode of Historical Hysteria. My name is Nicholas Ward and I am here to tear down your preconceived notions of reality. That or we can talk about dreadlocks. Okay, I'm going to do the second thing. Dreadlocks are as weirdly fascinating as they are... I don't want to say the word disgusting, but... A dreadlock is a hairstyle in which a person neither combs nor washes their hair and boom, dreadlocks. Okay, in the modern world, it's a bit more complicated than that, but it is a simple style that takes a lot of time to achieve. This innocuous hairstyle mostly fell out of favor around the world until a revival in the mid-20th century. Since then, it has often found itself part of a cultural war about race, identity, appropriateness, and cultural appropriation. And as with any hot-button topic, myths have become as thick and tangled as the dreads themselves. Dreads have long been tied up with ideas of appropriateness as a hairstyle seen as too out there for polite society. Today, some people are re-examining the social implications of this kind of polite social expectation and saying it sure seems kind of like a lot of things that are socially inappropriate are just whatever minorities happen to like. Dreads have come to be seen as symbols of counterculture, civil rights, environmentalism, Rastafarianism, the hippies, and more. And with this, some people have boldly grabbed the hairstyle and gone, mine. Over the last few decades, many have tried to claim ownership or origin over the style from India to Egypt to Jamaica. And at least in America, some have made the argument non-Africans wearing dreads is cultural appropriation. The defense against this is often that dreads are found in every culture, that the Vikings had dreadlocked hair. So what is the story behind this myth, and did Vikings have dreadlocked hair? Well, let's start in prehistory. Dreadlocks have probably existed for as long as humans have had hair on their heads, and will form more or less on their own if you just leave your hair alone long enough. In recorded history, there is some debate over the first recorded instances of locked hair. The first example in artwork of locked hair come from the ancient Minoan civilization on the island of Crete around 1500 BCE. However, the South Asian Vedic scriptures may have earlier descriptions of locked hair. Dreadlocked hair then falls in and out of fashion for the next millennia. Some instances of historical locked hair suffer from mistranslations. Descriptions of historical characters with locks is sometimes used as evidence for dreadlocks, even though lock in English simply refers to a tied-up bunch of hair. Samson in the Bible is one of these myths. Samson had 7 locks of hair, but the Hebrew word used for his hair is machlapah. Pardon for my pronunciation. And that also means braid, lock, or plait in English, but not dreadlock. This debate is pretty much irrelevant, as dreadlocks certainly predate written history, however. Dreadlocks around the Mediterranean would continue through until the classical period before falling out of style in most city-states, with the exception of ancient Sparta. During the classical period in Europe, dreadlocks would largely fall out of fashion in Romano-Greek influenced areas, though some early Christian sects are thought to have worn dreads. Roman sources do describe rope-like hair in Western and Northern Europe, though Roman sources on Northern and Western Europe are sometimes suspect, to say the least. I'm looking at you, Julius Caesar. In South Asia, dreadlocks never fall out of fashion, however do become heavily spiritualized and are worn mostly by sadhus, Hindu holy men. Some sects of Buddhism also wear locked hair. Dreads are also found among indigenous people in the Americas and Australia, and various groups across Africa, including probably most famously the Maasai tribe. However, all over the world, dreads have a habit of falling out of fashion once urban civilization comes knocking. Something about living in cities seems to make people want to comb their hair. By the 20th century, dreads outside of Hindu sadhus and Rastafarians were almost extinct, until in the 1960s Bob Marley and the Wailers broke into the mainstream. Awareness of Rastafarianism created a mystique around the hairstyle, and it got caught up in an awakening of counterculture in the USA, becoming a symbol for hippies, civil rights movements, Rastas, Black Pride, and more. And here is where things get a tad complicated. In recent years, some people have claimed non-Black Americans having dreads is cultural appropriation and therefore wrong. But let's just wrestle the lid back on that box of bees and look at the common defense of dreads among white Americans, that dreads are part of Viking culture, which is kind of a weird claim considering that only about 3.5% of Americans are descended from Scandinavians, but whatever. Did Vikings wear their hair in dreads? No, probably not. Evidence for this is generally based on ancient Roman sources of Northern Europe describing rope-like hair. However, other than the unreliability of these ancient Roman sources and the fact that Viking refers to a specific period of Norse society in the early Middle Ages after the fall of Rome, there are no records either within or out of Vikings having dreads. Ibn Fadlan, an Arabic explorer who gave us some of the only primary sources on Viking-era Scandinavians during the early Middle Ages, said people combed their hair daily, which would imply dreadlocks were uncommon or unknown. There is one source for possibly dreadlocked hair among the Norse in the Norse sagas, the story of Harald Schokke, who swore an oath not to comb or cut his hair until he was king of Norway. By the end, his hair would likely have been dreaded. However, the fact that it was so shocking it formed his moniker indicates that dreads were probably uncommon. So since the days of the classical Spartans, have dreads been part of European culture? Yes, in at least one instance, the Polish braid. The Polish braid is a style of dreadlock that was very popular in Eastern Europe, especially in the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, covering regions of modern-day Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Belarus, and parts of Ukraine. It would reach the heights of its fashion in the 17th and 18th century and would remain common among Polish peasants until the late 19th century, when public health campaigns and government propaganda tried to discourage peasants from continuing the tradition. Unlike the fashionable rope braids of today, the Polish braid was more a single, massive dread, though there are 19th century illustrations of peasants with braids where the braid is depicted as long, separate, rope-like dreads. The Polish braid demonstrates one of those problems we have covered in the past, where recorded history often only records the life and culture of the wealthy. The braid fell out of popularity among nobles in the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth in the 17th and 18th century, but we know, thanks to a Russian effort to eliminate the style, that it stayed in vogue among the peasantry until the 19th century. Just to be extra annoying, Poland and Lithuania had long cultural and political and social ties to northern Germany and Scandinavia, and Poles often wound up as serfs and slaves of everyone from the Vikings to the Prussians. So it's not impossible that the Polish braid made their way further west and north through the slave trade, though that is pure uneducated speculation on my part. So what happened to dreadlocks? A common explanation in America is that the dreadlock and various other hairstyles had a long history of being taboo. As part of the institution of slavery, people were generally stripped of all cultural identifiers, everything from language to hairstyles. But that doesn't really hold up. Slaves were stripped of cultural identifiers, and black hairstyles were taboo, but that doesn't explain why virtually everyone around the world, other than South Asian mystics, also moved away from the dreadlocks. And it doesn't explain why dreadlocks also fall out of fashion all over Africa, though it is worn by several groups to this day, including most famously by warriors during the Mau Mau insurrection in Kenya. The Mau Mau are one of the legends about where the name dreadlocks comes from, though is quite weak and backed up by a few sources. Colonialism may have played a part in the fall from grace in Africa, though dreads don't fall out of fashion in India, which was far longer under the heel of colonialism. So again, that doesn't really fit. Unfortunately, we can rarely say why things fall in and out of favor, historically. At some point in history, dreads became thought of as old-fashioned, and that is pretty much a fashion death statement. So how did dreads come back? Post-World War I, counterculture challenged social norms in increasingly bold ways. Each new generation challenging norms in newer and more exciting ways. The various social constructions of white supremacy became one of the prime targets for these movements. These kinds of social movements took root all over the world, but it is America where the dreadlock gained special importance. Come the 60s, an explosion of black identity tore through polite white society in the United States. Young protesters created new, aggressive black identities rooted in refusing to kowtow to polite societal pressures. This period saw growth in stereotypical black names and a rebirth of things like black hairstyles, a reclaiming of black identity that stood in juxtaposition to a society that said everything about blackness was backwards, dirty, and savage. Hairstyles like cornrows and afros became increasingly popular, and on one little island in the Caribbean, the dreads had not only not died out, but they had become a symbol of an entire religious movement. Bob Marley brought the world's attention to the tiny island of Jamaica and the Rastafari, a local quasi-Christian religious movement with a spiritual basis in genocide denial. I mean, Ethiopia and the genocidal maniac Haile Selassie. I mean, Ethiopia and the Emperor Haile Selassie, whose imperial ambitions and incompetence we looked at in episode 25. Dreads are incredibly important to the Rastafari. Based on an interpretation of the Bible where God orders the Nazarites to not cut their hair. It may be from the Rastas that we get the word dreadlocks, based on a radical faction of the movement, at least according to Barry Chivane's The Origins of the Dreadlock. Since the 60s, the dread has slowly gained or regained popularity in the West. Ironically, given the modern controversy around it, the hairstyle is not particularly popular in Africa. Some groups like Kenya's Maasai tribe still wear their hair locked, though it is generally limited to small rural tribes. In many parts of Africa, the hairstyle is viewed, well, much the same as it is in parts of America, as lazy, dirty, immoral, or countercultural, all in a bad way. This is something where it's difficult to fix down actual numbers about popularity. Discrimination because of locked hair has been reported across Africa, especially as the Pan-African Rasta movement has spread from the Americas east. According to a Spectator article, in Ethiopia, they are viewed as Western and immoral. In Ghana, a group of Rastafarian children were denied entry to a school because of their locked hair. Last year, Deutsche Welle, a major German news organization, reported on discrimination against Rastafarians on the continent, and in Malawi, a 2008 paper in the Journal of African Law stated that Rastafari with locked hair were prevented from attending school, period. South Africa is a notable exception to this, where the hairstyle is becoming so popular it has sparked a wave of hair thieves who mug people for their dreads to sell to salons. Dreads continue to be a heavily mythologized fashion amongst everyone from American hippies to pan-African conspiracy theorists. Regardless of personal views on the appropriateness of dreads, there's a few things in the story of dreadlocks that we know to be myths. Vikings probably didn't lock their hair, but Poles did. Dreads probably predate written history, and the origins of the name dreadlock are unknown. And that is all we have time for this week. Thank you for listening, and as always, don't forget to check the socials, r/historicalhysteria on Reddit and @manichistory on Twitter. But before I leave, let me leave you with this. Bob Marley is famous as an anti-materialist. He often spoke against the overvaluing of money. When an interviewer asked him if he was rich, he said he didn't have millions of dollars. That quote, "I don't have that type of riches. My riches is life forever." Bob Marley did not have millions of dollars. He had tens of millions of dollars, dying with an estate worth an estimated $32 million adjusted for 2022 inflation. Today, the Marley estate is worth $130 million. Chief sources for today were Barry Chivane's The Origin of the Dreadlocks and the Constitutional Protection of Minority Religious Rights in Malawi by Owen Mahango, Deutsche Welle, The Spectator, and a few minor others. Bye.